Welcome to Chan's Logic, episode 29.
That's 10.
I spirit fingers.
Oh.
That wasn't a 10. Oh my gosh, you ruined
29.
Everything.
Sorry.
Okay, that was better. Wait, show them again. Was that 29?
29.
Wow. Hey, could you stand up?
I am. Real funny.
She looks totes adorbs, but she's still only 4'8".
Can't
so
that.
We're excited for this week's edition of the Chan's Logic podcast because it's all about learning how to replicate yourself and be a good mentor to the people who follow you in your business. Because if you can't replicate yourself, you're always going to be doing the same thing. You're always going to feel like nobody can do anything the way you want them to do it. And you're always going to be just stuck between a rock and a hard place, even though a rock is a hard place.
Wow, sorry, I'm stuck.
How are you stuck?
I don't know. Because I'm always stuck there with that, with replicating myself. Because I'm a perfectionist.
Steph has a real hard time with this. She was just telling me, I wish I could replicate myself for cleaning the house. And I was like, that'll never happen.
Why?
Well, because I'm not going to help you.
Well, I know that. Hence the reason I wish I could replicate myself. Because even if you did help me, it's a horrible job.
Yeah, I don't really clean very well, apparently. Yeah. Not one of my strengths.
Tidy or anything.
So,
anyways,
that's never going to happen. I told Steph to hire a housekeeper, and she said no because they still wouldn't clean the way she wanted. So she's just totally screwed forever.
Yeah, so I just have to do it by myself all the time. That's all I've been doing all morning.
So when we think about the fact that we need to replicate ourselves, it's a process of mentorship. And I talked about this in a Facebook Live this morning. We're on Facebook Live again. Unless you're listening to this, then it's post live. But anyway, it's a process of mentorship. So if you want someone to do something in a way that you need it to be done and in a perfect cycle and system that you have developed and established, if you have to understand their mindset and their viewpoint and the way they're thinking of things and looking at things. So as a leader, if you tell them, hey, go do this, and they say, how do I do it? And you say, figure it out. They're going to go get frustrated and just not do it because they're not going to know what they're doing. They have no direction. They don't know how to start. And did you have something to say?
No, I was just saying, yeah. And then it's your fault when they don't do it right or they think they got it. And then you're like, nope, that's wrong. And then they just get more frustrated.
Exactly. And you can't say, well, I just don't ask anybody because I just have to do it myself. That's ultimately your failure as a leader to be able to delegate that out and teach people how to do it. And then cut down on your type A personality a little bit and trust the fact that they're going to do it. And you train them to a level to where they're going to do it just like you would.
Oh.
Right, Steph?
It's
one of the hardest things for Steph to figure out to do. So it starts like this. When you get someone who's new and who you need to get a process done and oriented, it goes in phases, like my phases of strategic planning. So number one, discovery phase. Hey, this is what we're doing. This is how I do it. This is how I think we need to do it. This is where you fit in the picture and how I want you to learn. Do you have any questions? No. Are you sure you don't have any questions? Well, I don't think so. Are you sure that you're sure you don't have any questions? And by the third, are you sure, they're going to actually tell you that they actually have questions. And so once you get that out of them, then you go into the planning phase with them. Okay, now I'm going to show you exactly how I do this. You're going to follow along the first time. Then you're going to do a little bit more. Then you're going to do a little bit more, and then I'm going to pull back and watch you do it. And I understand that in each phase of this process, you're going to fail at every level. And I'm going to tell you what you did wrong, what I would have done in the situation, and how we can do it better, and how we can make it something that's going to work for both of us. And then you go into the execution phase, which is when they're doing it. That's when you're fully back. You're watching them do it. You let them do it like 3 or 4 times like this. And then you go into the post-execution planning phase, which is, okay, this is what you did. This is what you did well. This is what you didn't do well. This is what we can improve on. And this is how we move forward into the next discovery phase. Right, Steph?
Yep.
And so then when you move into the next discovery phase, now this is phase two. They've already screwed it up like 6 or 7 times. They've tried it on their own a little bit. And then you really mentored them and taught them how to do it, given them feedback and told them what works and what doesn't. Now they're in the phase where they're going to do this whole phase by themselves. They're going to present it to you. They're going to say, this is how I'm going to do it. This is what I learned. This is how the process works. And this is how it's going to move forward. Then they move into the planning phase. Okay, this is how I'm planning it out. This is how it's going to work. Do you have questions on what I'm doing is what they should be asking you. And then you should ask them questions moving forward. And then execution, training wheels are off and they're going to do it on their own. And so At this point, you've been a really good mentor. You've allowed them to kind of grow. You've allowed them to fail. You've allowed them to succeed. You've allowed them to ask questions. You've pulled questions out of them, and they should be able to do this with the training wheels off. And so chances are they're going to do it really well. They're going to do it right. If they still screw up, you fix them. You tell them what they did wrong in the post-analysis phase, and then you do the phase again. So you're going to have to go through three phases before your staff is trained up to a level and ready to go to where you're going to be comfortable with them doing it with you just telling them, hey, go do this. Because if you just tell them to go do this and you don't go through all that, there's no mentorship process. There's no design process and how to do it. There's nothing that helps them figure out how to do it, what to do and when to do it, or what the best options are. And ultimately, if you can't do that, that's your failure as a leader. And if you say, oh, I'm too much of a perfectionist, I just do it myself. It's not that you're a perfectionist. It's just you failed to replicate your processes and teach new people.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. So you have to look at it as a failure on the leadership front. If you want to be a good leader, it requires systems, it requires processes, and requires the ability to teach your people and to see the world through their eyes. Now, there's a huge piece of empathy. If you can't understand the way your team's thinking, the way they're going to think, and the way they're going to react to what you're doing or what you say, you're not going to be a good leader. And you have to be empathetic in the way they think. It can't just be from your eyes only. It has to be from your eyes, from their eyes, and ultimately, when it gets down to the customer, from the eyes of the customer. So you have a three-pronged strategy in a customer-driven world. So it's customer, team, you. Everybody, and as a leader, you're ultimately responsible for understanding what's going to happen from all three viewpoints. Then you have to teach your team how to understand that. How is the customer going to think about this? How am I as a leader going to think about this? How are we going to react and respond? And you can ultimately get your team doing exactly what you're doing. And that way, when someone comes in and they say, hey, I want to work with you in this process, you say, hey, I'm too busy, I can't do it. But my team, I put them through the ringer to train them to a level to where they can replicate everything I do. And they literally know how I do it. I've written it down. It's all documented. And they know the processes to follow. So I trust them 100% in getting this done.
Which is what we've done. Well, what you've done very well.
Yeah.
I'm still trying. I still have things that I need to hand off. I just, you know, haven't gotten around to that.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was ultimately a decision I had to make to maximize the availability of my time.
Right.
So if I was repeating these processes and doing everything on my own and by myself, and I wasn't delegating out to anybody, it was just consuming all of my time when I had a perfectly capable team member who wanted to learn, who wanted to be molded, who wanted to be taught how to do these things. And I didn't want it to be my failure as a leader because I wasn't able to teach them that. I wanted to say, okay, if I teach them how to do this and they know how to do it well, they're going to do it without me. I'm not going to have to think about it. And I can worry about the other things that I need to do to make sure the business continues to grow, run, and be structured efficiently and have good processes.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So like, for example, in the gym, you train your staff up to a point where they know how to program workouts. They know how to program in a safe way so clients don't get hurt. They know how to react and respond to clients. They know exactly how to coach a class. They should be able, like we have, our staff can coach a class the same way I can coach a class. It doesn't matter. I don't have to tell them anything. They'll ask questions if they need it, but they're on their own. They show up. They know how to manage everything. They know our standards. They know what the work problem I had in programming it. They know when someone comments on social media to go check Facebook Messenger and respond and go back and forth. They know how to respond. They know what to say. They know when to say it. And they know how to interact, and they know what levels that we want that interaction to happen and all for us. So that comes down to, yep. What else do you got to say?
Yep. I don't know. You're doing great, Chan.
And so it comes down to every time you as a leader have a process and you're doing a process and it's a repetitive process, document that entire thing. Document the overview of it. Document all the steps that happened to make it happen. And then document the areas where you had problems at first and how you fix those problems. Then when you have a new process, you can give the process document to your team. They're going to promptly ignore it. So then you have to read it to them and make sure they understand, and you ask questions about it. And then you go back and talk to them about it after that. And then they'll say, okay, so really, I didn't really read that thing. I skimmed it. And then they'll say, but I learned when you actually went through it with me. And then we did three processes to go through it of strategic planning. Then I finally figured it out and got it, because it takes, people are going to read and they're going to retain 10% of what they learn. then they're going to go through it with you in person, and they're going to retain another maybe 10% of what they learned. And then they're going to go through it and actually do it themselves, and they maybe have 10% more. And it's, so it takes this long-term process of planning and establishing these systems and these processes with these people to make sure that they're always on the right page and they know what's going on and that they retained everything that you need them to learn.
There's something called patience that goes along with that too.
Oh yeah, incredible amount of patience. So you have to be able to, you have to understand, and this is the idea of empathy. You have to be able to see it through their eyes. They have never done this before. You've done it a million times. So to you, it's an easy process and there's no problem getting it together. You're done quick. But to them, it's new. They need to learn how to do it. They need to be comfortable asking questions. They need to be able to establish what's good and what's not. And they need to be able, they just need to be able to understand the process from a long-term perspective and from the whole process perspective. And if you're not patient with them and they ask a question, you're bitter with them or you get snappy or whatever, and you become a quick jerk, they're not going to want to come to you and ask questions anymore. And they're just going to try to figure out, screw it up, get frustrated, and then just not do it. And then you're going to get frustrated and say, well, they won't do it, so I just do it myself. I'm just like, no. Have you thought about it from their point of view? What did you do? How did you help them? What did the processes look like? And were you engaging enough to get them moving? If not, it's your failure. It's not an excuse that you can use that you're this perfectionist, because everybody's a perfectionist in what they want to do. But not everybody's a perfectionist in the teachability of what you do. And that's what it comes down to. How good of a teacher are you? And how well can you replicate your voice to other people?
Well, this one's taught me a lot. Not a good teacher. Thanks, Chan. I have no patience. We already all knew that.
Steph has zero patience. That's why in the gym, she's the processes person, the back end person. She does a lot of the work that technical people like me don't want to do.
Non-technical.
And then I take everything that we're going to do and I organize it and teach it and display it in a way to where people can follow it, listen to it, and pay attention. And this is another thing behind leveraging your strengths. So if you're not good at teaching and you're not good at doing all these things, you need to find someone on your team who is and make them the general manager or the process person, or mm-hmm. you need to find someone to bring on who can be the leader and be the manager and ultimately make sure all the processes are happening and all the information that you don't understand or you can't teach or display to your team is actually going to happen, because you can't do this by yourself. And if you're not good at it, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to lose patience. And then you're ultimately going to be the person who says, well, I just have to do this myself because I'm a perfectionist. Did you like that?
That is not what I sound like.
Yeah, it is. I just do it myself because I'm a perfectionist.
Still doesn't sound like me. But how do you sound? Not like that.
Oh. So what do you think about this, Steph?
I can't replicate, or I need to replicate myself.
So Steph, for example, when we have staff meetings, Steph will have an outline of everything she wants to talk about. She'll type it up. She'll make a pretty document. She'll give it to everybody and everybody will have their pieces, and then she'll talk everybody through it. And then I have to go in there and talk about like the little microcosms of each piece, and then talk on Slack about how we're going to organize it, and then check in with people and make sure they're okay and they're not confused or sad about something or lost in thought or whatever, lost in translation. And so it works really well. She develops all the processes and all the information and the stupid documents I don't like to write up. And she'll sit there and ask me, what do you think? And usually I'm half paying attention and I'll tell her what we should go through. And then she puts it all on the paper. And then it's everything that I have in here on paper because she's asked me about it, even though I was mostly half paying attention.
You never pay attention. What are you talking about?
I always pay attention.
Whatever.
So there's a difference. I'm always listening, but I don't always respond.
It's called selective hearing.
No, it's selective hearing and full-blown listening. Because I hear everything. Selective responding?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Are you drunk?
No. I'm hungry.
You're hungry?
Yep.
Oh, what are you going to eat? Steph, so funny story. We were in the grocery store the other day.
No, don't tell this story.
And Steph looks at me and she says, hey, I'm really trying to get my diet back on track and I really want to get focused. Do you think I should cut tomatoes out of my diet? And I was like, no, why would you cut tomatoes out? They're fine.
Tomatoes.
And I was like, no, tomatoes are going to be okay. You don't have an autoimmune disorder or anything where we have to cut out nightshades. So to keep the tomatoes in with you. She was like, okay. And then 20 minutes later, we're rolling through the grocery store and she goes, oh, wait, I have to get ice cream before we go. And I was like, wait, hold on 1 second. Did you just tell me you were trying to cut out tomatoes, but you're still going to include ice cream in your diet? because you want to be clean and try to be focused with your diet?
Well, you see, why'd you have to tell everyone?
Well, because it's hilarious. Who plans on cutting tomatoes out and then decides ice cream is still okay?
I can't cut ice cream. I have an issue.
We call that an addiction.
Well, yeah, I have an addiction to sugar.
A sugar addiction.
And mainly just ice cream in the form of ice cream. One time a day.
Wait, what other form does ice cream come in?
No, I have an addiction to sugar, mainly in the form of ice cream.
Oh, okay. Because you said I have an addiction to ice cream in the form of ice cream.
I like my sugar, or my ice cream. I haven't had ice cream in like 6 days.
She's an addict. She has zero self-control when it comes to anything.
I literally just said I haven't had ice cream in 6 days.
It's pretty impressive.
That's self-control.
She'll probably relapse this weekend.
Well, yeah. We're getting Japanese donuts.
Yeah. Apparently everybody loves the Japanese donuts.
They're anpans.
Anpans.
So anyways.
So moral of the story for this whole episode is if you want to be able to replicate yourself and you want to not get frustrated and say, oh, well, I have to do everything, you need to be able to understand what process you follow to make this work. You need to write down that process. And then you need to look, before you present it to your team, you need to look at it through their eyes and say, okay, how are they going to respond and react to this? What phases of strategic planning do I need to put this into to make sure that we have a good teachability aspect and a good teachability flow? Mm-hmm. And then how many times do I have to go through these phases of strategic planning? Chances are it's going to be phase one, which is training wheels or crawling. Phase two is walking. Take the training wheels off a little bit, but you're still holding them while they run along on their little bicycle. And then phase three, where they're off on their own and you're letting the little sparrow fly and flutter away and be butterflies. And so phase three is eventually where you can trust them to do it 100%. You can tell them to do it, leave for a week and come back and it's done exactly how you want it and exactly to the way you want it. But you have to be there to teach them, to mentor them, and to give them the feedback they need to understand what they did right, what they did wrong, and how they can improve. And you can't approach it like, hey, you did this wrong, you suck, bro. You have to approach it like, hey, this was good. This wasn't so good. And then this is how we're going to improve on these things. So the good stuff was good. Let's take these things that you didn't do so well and let's work. And this is how I think we should improve them. What do you think? And then they're going to tell you, well, okay, that sounds good. And it's okay. Why does that sound good? Well, because I do think I screwed up that a little bit. I could improve it this way. Okay, cool. Now, how do you think you're going to improve it? So after the third, there's always this rule, ask why at least three times. Ugh. And you're going to get the real answer out of people, especially your team. You really need to understand what they're thinking and they need to be in the mindset that they need to be comfortable telling you exactly how they feel and what they're thinking about and what their thoughts and philosophies are. So they don't feel like there's a dumb question or they don't feel stupid or anything. I ask Steph why a lot and she gets mad at me.
You ask more than three times. That's the problem.
She gets very angry. I say why, and she responds, and I'll do it three or four or five. Sometimes I do it to annoy her, but
we've probably gone a whole car ride home from the gym before, which is sometimes like 20 minutes. Well, it's usually 20 minutes, and I think with as many whys as Chan could get out, I must have been drunk that day that I actually answered that many whys.
Yeah, I'll keep asking until someone gives me a legitimate response that makes sense, and a lot of times Steph just speaks gibberish.
Yeah. And usually I go, I'm going to crash this car into a wall.
It's really, see, if you say why one more time, that's the end of it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching this episode of Chan's Logic. Remember, if you want to replicate yourself, you need to give your staff and your team the capabilities, the tools, and the resources to actually do what you need to do. And you need to be a mentor. If you use the excuse that I'm the only one who can do it because I'm a perfectionist, it's because you can't teach people well, and it's because you don't trust your team enough, and you need to fix that, because trust is the primary ingredient in a well-structured and well-ordered organized team.
You almost got that out perfect.
Mm-hmm. I meant oil. All right. I meant to say oil. But anyway, until next week, if you guys have questions, post them in the comments. If you guys have questions and you're listening to this, shoot me an email, chandler@stoneagefuel.com. If you have questions about processes or non-patients or anything, you can email staff@stoneagefuel.com as well.
Yep. Bye.
See ya. Picking up the piece from the stocking brain.